To open your Bibles to John chapter 14. As today we're going to be looking at one of the most controversial, perhaps, of all of the I am claims that Jesus has made. I encourage you to follow along again on page 1675 of our Pew Bibles if you would prefer to use those. Jesus is fully aware that his time on earth is drawing to a close. He's going to be arrested very soon. He's going to be tortured to death. And he knows that his followers are going to struggle when he's taken from them. He knows they're going to feel lost without him. So he consoles them with these words. John 14, beginning in verse 1. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in God. In me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And in verse 6, Jesus answered, and if you would say it with me, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, that the Father's in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. You'd think by now, wouldn't you, that Jesus' followers would have a pretty clear indication of who he was. But evidently not. At least some of them, maybe most of them, maybe even all of them are still confused. They still have their wondering about who is this person really? Who is he after all he's done? After all the things that he has performed in their presence, they still struggle with who he really is. Yet notice, that he's telling them if he were just a mere man, just another prophet, a good teacher, just another friend, just another relative, that his death would be the end. But he's not a mere man. He's not just another friend, another prophet, another teacher. He's much, much more. And this is not the end. Yet even as he prepares to lay down his life, he knows he's going to do that, he's laying down something more for them. He's laying down a truth that he wants them to hold on to and find strength in and confidence in and consolation in the days, the weeks, the months, the years, and throughout their life to come. A friend of mine once tried to argue that Jesus didn't say here he was the only way. And we shouldn't force his words to mean that. Yet notice, he says no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I have misunderstood some of the things Jesus said before. And through further study and some revelation of God's Word and through some insight and things shared with me, I've come to understand things more perfectly. But this seems pretty clear, doesn't it? I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. It seems like it'd be pretty difficult to misunderstand it. It sure sounds like he's saying he's the only way. To the Father's home, to the Father himself, the only way. Now, I believe very strongly, and not everyone holds this view, but I believe very strongly that his invitation is extended to everyone. But this appears to be pretty exclusive. Accept the invitation. Come through Jesus, or you won't be coming at all. Pretty exclusive. He's the only way. Yet, hear me out here. Now, I believe that sometimes we have made his words more exclusive than they really are. Bear with me. Jesus did not say religion is the way. He didn't say it. He didn't even say Christianity is the way. Especially not our American version of it, our churchianity. He didn't say that's the way. Religion, any religion, that's not the way. It's not a matter of us doing the right things in the right manner. That's not the way. He's the way. He's the way. We've got to be careful we don't extrapolate it into, again, religion rather than a relationship with the one who is the way. Though it is necessary and extremely beneficial in guiding us and equipping us along the way, helping to point us to the way, church attendance, praise and worship, Bible study, and working in the kingdom are not the way to the Father. Jesus is. We need to understand that. Now, there's no other religion that's going to point you to the way, to teach you about the way, to teach you the teachings of the way than Christianity. There's no other one. But let us not confuse the issue. Jesus is the way. The church isn't the way. Jesus is the way. Now, it's interesting that the church was later on called the way because they were always pointing to the way and teaching about the way and lifting up the way, but the church isn't the way. Jesus is the way. It's not what we do or how well we do it. It's about what he did for us and promises yet to do. He's the way. He's the way. You see, if God's Son had not come to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, there would be no way we could get to heaven. None. But since he did, we now have the way provided for us in Jesus. But, come on, I'm a good person. Isn't that enough? You know, they won't even let me into Sam's Club on my own merit. Try it. If you don't show your card, yeah. No. Imagine trying to get into the White House with those credentials. I'm a good person. You should let me in. I should be able to walk right up into the Oval Office and see the president. Come on, I'm a good person. I mean, ask my friends. They'll tell you. Ask my wife. Well, don't ask her. Ask my kid. Well, maybe don't ask them. But ask somebody they'll tell you I'm a good person. And on that merit, I ought to be let in. You're not going to get far on your credentials. I've paid several visits to the NICU unit at Rock Memorial lately. But guess what? I can't just barge in whenever I want to. I can't do that. And even if I get to the right elevator and to the right floor, I still can't just go in whenever I want at the times I choose. You've got to be granted access. I can't even just call ahead and say, you know what, this is Pastor Doyle. Remember me? I'm a good person. I'm a particularly good person, you know, and I have good intentions. So just, you know what, let me come in there. You know, I'm going to come right on over, come in. No. It doesn't work that way. And again, there's this exclusive elevator. And you know what? I just can't over and push the button and it opens up for me. No, you have to page and ask for permission to come up. They have to give you entry, grant you access. And it's not the nurses to give me the permission. It's not even grandparents of the children, unless they've been granted the permission to grant permission. What I found is a parent has to be physically present and okay it. And even then, when I am granted access to start coming, I have to scrub up before I can go any further. I'll stop right there. Scrub up? Got to scrub up? Got to clean up? Why? Again, I'm the pastor. Come on. I'm a good person. Come on. I have good intentions. Come on. I'm a nice guy. These layers of red tape there are for the protection of the child. In the past, you've probably heard horrible stories of how babies have been kidnapped or their health has been compromised because someone's come and you know, they're not well. Now, those who come to the Father, or try, I should say, come to the Father, but don't come through Jesus, aren't denied access to the Father for His protection. That's where the analogy falls. For the Father, it's not for His protection. It's not that He's afraid someone's going to kidnap an angel, or that somehow we're going to contaminate the throne. No, what's closer to the truth is this. The Bible says time and time again that no one can see God and live. If we were to attempt to enter into His presence in our present state, we'd be consumed like tissue paper in a furnace. But when we come to Jesus, He not only cleanses us of our sin, but He changes us. And He'll ultimately change us beyond our imagination before we're actually able to enter in to the presence of God in heaven. The Scripture talks about a transformation that will happen in a twinkling of an eye. Where are we going to be changed? Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, the Bible tells us. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed, transformed, so that we can not only come into the Father's presence, so we can dwell there, so we can be there forever with Him. Jesus, the way. The way to our redemption, the way to our cleansing, the way to our transformation, to allow us, to give us the access to the Father. And praise God for that. But He's also saying something more than just, I'll leave the door open for you. It's not like, once again, that he went through the door when he rose again. He's in heaven with God. But he propped the door open with, you know, a harp or a crown. No, it's not like He just propped the door open for us. A lot of people seem to think that. It's kind of a universalism they'll talk about, that Jesus died and now everybody, you know, has got access to heaven because He died and paid the price for sins. Now, He did pay the price for the sins of the whole world, but we have to believe in Him and trust in Him to be able to gain access through Him. But He didn't just prop the door open. Matter of fact, you might remember in John chapter 10 that He is the door. He is the door. He says, I am the door. There's no access to the Father but through Him. In fact, He says, we don't enter unless He comes to usher us in. And that's a powerful truth that I had not seen for years. I've shared it here. I shared it at a eulogy at a memorial service just last Monday. That something powerful is being said here when He says, I'll come back and take you to be with me. You also may be where I am. I'll come back. I'll come back. I'll get you. I'll take you to be with me. With my Father, my Father's house forever. Him ushering in, Him coming, Him not just, He's not even meeting us at the door. He's the door, and He comes through, He gets us, and He takes us through. I was trying to think of some times when maybe I've had that issue where where I've gone and people weren't going to grant me access until someone actually came out and got me and took me in. And that has happened a couple of times. But Jesus is going to come and get us, usher us in to the very presence of God. Now, this is powerful. Bear with me here a minute. If the elders and say, Pastor Joel and myself, were planning on going to a leadership conference, and I was going to be the designated driver, not because we'd be drinking, I don't mean that. Maybe we'd be full of the Spirit, but you know, but I'm the designated driver. If I was the guy who was going to do the driving, I'd be finding out the address to our destination and putting in my GPS. I would probably be going to Google Maps, and I'd print one out, you know, with a step-by-step along the way. I would be making sure that my car was fueled up, make sure that the fluids were topped up and that the air pressure was right. I might even clean the car out for the guys. I might even do that. I would probably, depending upon the length of the journey, stop and look and try to check out where there would be refueling places. Places maybe where you could stop and be refreshed or relieved, you know, along the journey. And if it was a long journey, I might be looking for maybe a place where we could stop over and spend the night. But I'd be plotting all that out, planning all that. Then I'd be telling the guys, you know, well I'm going to pick you up at such and such a time, or meet me at the church. I'd be organizing it, make sure they knew that. Tell them what they needed to bring. I might even go to the website and find out where exactly I'm supposed to park, you know, what's the best time to arrive. I'd be checking all that stuff out. Making sure that, but you know what? Those of you know John Adamson, remember elders? If John was the one who was a designated driver, I wouldn't worry about any of that stuff. I know John, and I trust John. He would take care of all that. I wouldn't have to give it another thought other than to be ready when he came to get me. That'd be it. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we sweat and worry so much about, you know, all, like we got to work out all the details, like we got to get everything ready, all we got to do is be ready when Jesus comes. Do you trust Jesus for what he says here? Trust in God, trust in me. Don't be fretful, don't be worried, don't let your hearts be troubled about your eternal destiny. Don't be worried about it. I'll come get you. I am your way. Jesus tells us he is the way. He doesn't want us to have troubled hearts and minds. He doesn't want us to fret, to worry, and be concerned and wringing our hands about whether we're going to make it. We're going to make it if we put our faith and trust in him. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying? I don't know the day or the hour he's returning, but I'm ready. Are you ready? Are your bags packed? Are you ready? Are you anticipating? Are you looking forward to it? Are you excited about it? I pray so. You should be. Instead of worrying about it, you should be excited about it. He's coming. And he's got everything all worked out, all the details. I just encourage you, don't wait till tomorrow to get ready if you're not ready. Why do you get ready? Accept Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Now, but still, see, it's controversial because people will say, you know, that sounds great, but it's not fair that he's the only way. Come on, that's not fair. There ought to be more than one way. I ought to be able to choose my path. I ought to be able to choose my way. I should be able to have access to heaven even if I believe in someone else. Or even if I just trust in myself and my own goodness. That ought to be... Why can't that be sufficient? Why do I have to put my trust in him? That's just too narrow. That's not fair. Really. What makes Jesus so special? That we have to trust Him. That we have to put our confidence in Him. That's the issue, isn't it? It really is. When people begin to question and wonder and say, well, and get upset because He's the way. Because the issue is they don't know who He is. Not really. Because if they knew who He was, see, wasn't that Thomas's issue? Well, Lord, we don't know where You're going, and we don't know the way. And what did Jesus say? Have I been with You all this time, and You still don't know Me? Isn't that what He said? You still don't know who I am? I am the way. See, as John 3:16 says, He's God's only Son. The King James Version says only begotten Son, one and only Son, monogenes in the Greek, the only descendant, direct descendant of God the Father, the only one. That's why He's the only way, because He's the only Son of God. He's the only one who could be the way. He's the only one who could pay the price. He's the only one who could make the provision. He's the only one who could give us the access. No one else can. Who says? Jesus does. But even here He doesn't speak of His own accord alone. He says, the words I say to you are not just My own. Did you hear that one I read? Rather, it is the Father living in Me who's doing His work. In other words, you've got My word on it, but you've also got My Father's word on it. And My Father confirmed My words by the work I did. That's really what He's saying. That the work that the Father did through Him, that the miracles, His resurrection from the dead, which Jesus died, rose again, and is at the right hand of the Father now, He's coming back to get all those who put their trust in Him. No one could make the promise Jesus did but Jesus. No one could. No one can tell you they're coming back for you but Jesus. No one but Jesus could be the way. Well, that's why it's exclusive. Now, guess what? I usually like the idea of belonging to an exclusive group or exclusive club. It's kind of, hey, cool, you know. But the idea is it's not that we're an exclusive group. It's that Jesus is the exclusive way. And we put our faith and trust in Him. He grants us not only access, He comes, He gets us, He ushers us in. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. In Matthew 7:14, Jesus said, narrow is the path that leads to life, and few will find it. Narrow? I've been accused of being narrow-minded. Well, help me out. Isn't that what He says? Do you believe that? That Jesus is the way? That Jesus is the way. Are you glad that you have had that revealed to you? Do you praise God that it's been revealed to you that Jesus is the way and that Jesus invited you to be part of that, to come through Him? Are you pleased about that? Do you praise God about that? Let me ask you something else, though. If you believe that, then we've got to believe the other part, and that's the part that we struggle with sometimes. The broad is the way that leads to destruction. If Jesus is the only way, those who choose any other way are not going to make it to the Father. Does that concern you? I mean, we rejoice, you know, that we're there. And I think therein is part of the problem. That sometimes the world perceives us as people who are saying, we're going and you're not. Something wrong with that, right? Brother, what we should be saying is, you know what? Jesus has provided the way for us both. For us all. He is the way. We want to invite you. to the Father. Invite you to join us. We ought to be pointing the way to the way. Amen? We ought to be. I am so thankful Jesus is the way. I'm so thankful that He provided the way and He has opened the way and He is the way, because there'd be no other way that this boy, on my merit, would ever see the Father. But by God's grace and mercy and love and the sacrifice Jesus made, I believe with all my heart, I'm not even going to see the Father. Jesus is going to introduce me to Him. That'll be a great day. Glorious. Haven't met Jesus yet? We want to introduce you. Because He'll do the introductions. He's the way. That's great. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for granting us the privilege of this relationship we have with You, for paying the ultimate price to not just open the door, but for Jesus to be the door, for Jesus to be the way for us to be able to know and to have confidence and assurance and eternal life with You. But Father, I pray that as we rejoice in that and we are grateful for that, we'll also be motivated to share the good news with those who may be confused and lost and who don't understand who Jesus is. Help us to be more proactive in pointing the way to Jesus, not in a condemning, critical way, but Father, in an inviting way, in a loving way, because that's how You've called us to Yourself. May we be Your instruments to do the same. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name.